This is Stateside for Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham and for Cynthia Canty. This afternoon, in an Ingham County courtroom, Judge Rosemary Aquilina sentenced the Michigan State University sports doctor who, for years, sexually assaulted girls and women athletes and called it medical treatment.
Sir, I'm giving you 175 years, which is 2,100 months. I just signed your death warrant.
The judge went on to say she normally believes in redemption, but not this time.
I find that you don't get it, that you're a danger. You remain a danger. I'm a judge who believes in life and rehabilitation when rehabilitation is possible. I have many defendants come back here and show me the great things they've done in their lives after probation, after parole. I don't find that's possible with you.
Kate Wells has been in the courtroom day after day as 156 women and girls made victim impact statements, directing anger at their former doctor. Kate, what was the reaction in the courtroom after the sentence?
Applause. Sustained, standing applause for a solid minute. Everyone was embracing, from the prosecutors to the detectives that have led this case to the chief of MSU police. I think there's also just a sense of shock. I think this is pretty surreal for people. You know, they have been fighting this, some of them, for 20 years and have not been believed. You know, some of them, their entire childhoods were shaped by this, and suddenly here they are being heard. And now they have been able to confront the man who abused them, and he is going to die in prison.
Nassar made a statement to the court and to his victims. Here's a little bit of what he said.
Your words these past several days, your words, have had a significant emotional effect on myself and has shaken me to my core. I also recognize that what I am feeling pales in comparison to the pain, trauma, and emotional destruction that all of you are feeling.
So, did that have any impact on the survivors?
In the moment, it did, because previously, when Nassar has made statements, he's never really fully apologized like this. You can't quite hear it, but there were women that just started sobbing as he was speaking there. But the judge was not buying it. She, afterwards, when Nassar was done apologizing, said, look, I want to read from this 6-page letter that you wrote me before this all started. And in it, he denies any and all culpability. He says this was just medical treatments, that he only pled guilty because he wanted to avoid a trial for the sake of his community and his family. He said he even used the term, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And you could hear gasps throughout the entire crowd. So Aquilina told Nassar, look, I can't believe your apology, because here, when you write this 6-page letter essentially denying that you've done anything, it's clear to me that you don't actually believe that yourself.
Yes, she read the whole thing, which was surprising. And I'm just wondering, did that reveal anything to any of the survivors?
I think it definitely changed the tone of Nassar's apology. I talked with them afterwards, and they said, you know, in the moment I felt like he was apologizing, and now that I know what he actually thinks, you know, obviously he does not understand what he's done.
One of the survivors, Kyle Stevens, reacted to that letter. What did she say?
She said that, well, first of all, she said the most important thing is her monster, as she put it, is gone. And then she said that in the moment when Nassar was apologizing, she started to believe it. And then afterwards, she realized that he had not been sincere.
At the time, I was like, I was just thoughtful. But then after hearing parts of his letter, it's just like, he's not sorry. He doesn't, I don't know what's going on in his head, but he clearly doesn't understand the impact of his actions.
It seems certain that this is not the end of Nassar's time in a courtroom or the end of fallout because of the institutions that failed these children. Where are the survivors taking their fight next?
very much to those institutions. And really, that has been part of their fight from the beginning. It has been something that the vast majority of them have mentioned during their time in this courtroom telling their stories. They say, look, we do not have to be here. If adults at Michigan State University, if adults at USAG had been doing their jobs to protect us, to believe us when we bring these reports forward, this didn't have to happen. Rachel Denhollander says this entire case is an example of what happens when adults fail children.
Moving forward as a society, this is what it looks like. When the adults in authority do not respond properly to disclosures of sexual assault, this is what it looks like. When institutions create a culture where a predator can flourish unafraid and unabated. And this is what it looks like when people in authority refuse to listen, put friendships in front of the truth, fail to create or enforce proper policy, and fail to hold enablers accountable. This is what it looks like.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, she was incredible. I mean, this started with Rachel Denhollander in 2016. You know, we know the Me Too movement now, but when Rachel came forward, she was one person going up against a renowned, beloved Olympic doctor, and she went through a lot. People didn't believe her. People said that she was doing this for the money and the attention. And slowly but surely, over the last year and a half, 150 other women and girls have come forward and joined her.
That is Michigan Radio's Kate Wells. Thanks very much, Kate.
Thank you, Lester.